Well, who has practically monopolized the clothing industry? You don't find that hard to tell. And as to the department stores, yes, there are a few small ones run by white men, but who owns practically all the greater ones? It goes on. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, that is, the drug industry. Again, a few little corner drug stores are operated by white men, but who own the great chain drug stores? And wine. Well, I suppose you surely know by now who has practically monopolized the liquor industry. I am told that among the hard liquors, only one producer, I.W. Harper, is still owned by white men. The rest have been taken over by the Jews. And here in California, we have many wineries which still bear the names of their Italian founders, but I am told that the vast majority of them have been bought up by the big Jewish whiskey distillers. And oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep. So, with the food stores. You surely know that nearly all the big grocery chains are Jewish owned. And even those which are not, that is, the retail stores, they must buy from Jewish wholesalers. Hardly anything you eat, unless you buy direct from the farmer, can be had without it going through the hands of Jewish wholesalers. And horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Now, if you've been hoping that if you just close your eyes, maybe all this will go away, and some peaceful solution to this can be found, that these people who have brought us to this condition will pick up their wealth, and while they leave us impoverished, they'll all peacefully move out to Palestine and leave us alone. Well, give up that idea. They have no intention of letting go of anything that is worth as much in money as what they have here today. Only, as he said, with violence can this great city Babylon be thrown down. And you note another thing. It says the angel took up this great stone and cast it into the sea. Now, as you already know, wherever the sea is used in symbolic language, it is speaking of the great unorganized mass of non-Israel peoples. In other words, this Babylonian system is going to be thrown down and dissolved in the turbulence of the uprising of the peoples. In other words, the same thing that you see today, the Negroes rioting, burning, and looting. Well, whose stores are they looting and burning? And our college youngsters and the various hippies that join in with them in their rioting, plundering, burning. These people, despite their bad intentions, are actually carrying out in an unintended way a good purpose, for they are contributing to the downfall of Great Babylon. Not that they understand this. The brainwashing to which they have been subjected has directed their intention entirely away from the real source of the evils. They see the little merchant from whom they buy goods and who cannot afford to extend them credit, and they're angry at him. But they don't see that his problem is that the money he has to borrow, he has to pay so much interest for, he can't afford to let any of this stand out on credit when he deals with his customers. So, the book of Revelation goes on. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now here you come to a bit of trans mistranslation, which has concealed the meaning. The word which has been mistranslated sorceries here is the Greek word pharmakia, meaning drugs and medicines. Now, surely you know that nearly all the great drug manufacturers are Jewish-owned and controlled firms today. And as for the drugs which are being taken by our corrupted hippie youth, LSD being probably the worst of the lot, fully 90% of all the LSD that is distributed in the United States is manufactured in the city of Tel Aviv and imported from there into the United States. So by thy drugs were all the nations deceived. And in her, in this great Babylon, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now that again shows that this is not just talking about the Catholic Church, even though the Catholic Church has been guilty of the murder of a great many people. But certainly the Catholic Church is not responsible for the blood of all that were slain upon the earth in the many, many centuries before any Catholic Church existed. Jesus Christ explained it very clearly in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verses 29 to 36, and note who he was talking to. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses against yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Now here again, mistranslation has concealed something. The word here, translated generation, doesn't mean that at all. A generation is a group of people born fairly near the same time of more or less similar age. But this is not what it's talking about. It says, ye genema, ye progeny, ye children, ye descendants of vipers, ye serpents, ye descendants of vipers. Now you remember that the children of Satan had adopted the serpent as his symbol, and so in course of time they had finally even given the Hebrew word nokesh, which primarily means a magician or enchanter, they had given it a secondary meaning of serpent. So, since these were the children of the serpent, Satan, he said, all right, if that's the title you want to give yourself, then you serpents, you children of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I sent unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues. Now that's not the Catholic Church, you note. Some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Now, obviously, the Catholic Church didn't exist in the time of Cain and Abel and was not responsible for it. But you notice here that because these people are the children of those who did this thing, the whole race from beginning to end is to bear the responsibility for all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, beginning with the blood of Abel. Now, you remember that Cain was the one who murdered Abel. And the scribes and Pharisees, Jews, are identified here, therefore, as being the children of Cain, and through Cain, the children of Satan. So he concludes, verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation, And here again, that's mistranslation. All these things shall come upon this genia, derived from the word genos, and genos is the word from which they have coined lately the word genocide, meaning to kill off a race or a nation. Strong's Concordance gives the definition of genia as nation. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this nation. Now the Jews of Jerusalem and of other places in Judah were not Judahites, nor from any tribe of Israel. In Ezekiel 11, verses 14 and 15, we read this. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel wholly, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. So you notice now that the inhabitants of Jerusalem were telling the entire house of Israel, every single man, woman, and child of it, you get out because this land is given to us. Therefore, it is very clear that these inhabitants of Jerusalem did not include Israelites. The same idea is brought out clearly in Isaiah 3, verses 8 and 9. For Isaiah is condemning the ruling class in the city of Jerusalem, the bright young Jewish brain trusters who surrounded the king and advised him to do evil, even as we find in Washington, D.C. today. And he says of these people in Jerusalem, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. Now, if you wanted to condemn the ruling class in, let us say, Sweden, you couldn't say why the mere sight of their faces condemns them, because there's nothing about their faces any different from that of the rest of the Swedes. And even in China today, if you wanted to condemn the ruling class among these communist Chinese, you couldn't say you can recognize them by the mere sight of their faces. You can't. They look like any other Chinese. But here, Isaiah was pointing out that there were people in Jerusalem who could be recognized by their faces as not Israelites. Now, this has been the source of evil from at least the third and fourth chapters of Genesis, right on down to the present time. Isaiah 14, verses 12 and following, speaks of Lucifer by name, making it unmistakably clear that he is speaking about Lucifer, Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now you know, of course, that except for China, communism worldwide today is directed and ruled by Jews. Now notice here, the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness. Look how much destruction the communists have wrought, and they threaten now to reduce the whole world to an uninhabited wilderness, if need be, with atom and hydrogen bombs. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. Yes, that's what they say they will do. That opened not the house of his prisoners. And you notice how, Once the communists get control of any place, that whole nation becomes a prison house for everybody except the Jews. The Berlin Wall, to keep people from leaving. This communist paradise is not sufficient to cause anybody to want to live in it. So, there is far more border guard work done to keep the unfortunate slaves in than to keep possible enemies out. Now, you note that unmistakably here, Isaiah has been speaking of Lucifer because he names him Lucifer. And he shows, of course, that the work of Lucifer is manifest in modern Jewish communism. Now, going right on in that same chapter, unbroken, you get to verse 21, which says this: "Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities." Strong medicine? Yes. But remember, if our ancestors had obeyed God 3,000 years ago, we wouldn't have been having the troubles we have today. And I'm not saying if our ancestors had obeyed God merely in their own personal actions. It's very true that I should refrain from committing robberies, and I do. But you notice that doesn't stop hundreds of thousands of robberies from being committed every year by other people. And no matter how good I am personally, or you are personally, as long as you allow the people to live who commit robberies, you're going to have robberies. And so with all other crimes. So what our ancestors were commanded to do when they went into Palestine was to exterminate the very people whose present-day descendants are bringing upon the world these terrible calamities, until finally the system which they have fastened upon the whole world, until we are all enslaved beyond any chance to escape from it, that system has to be overthrown with violence, as it says in Revelation 18, verse 21. Now there is one encouraging thing in this. It is perfectly true that the problem is so great that God's personal intervention is going to be required. And it's going to be given. And all his limitless power to do miracles is going to be used to see that we get through this system alive. And yet, we are going to be given the opportunity to be partners with him in the job. In Ezekiel 25, verses 13 to 14, it says this: "Therefore, thus saith Yahweh God, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and I will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury." Now that has never yet happened. That isn't a prophecy of the remote past to be fulfilled during Bible times. That was a prophecy of the future to be fulfilled in our own times. We have not yet done it, but God has given his command: "I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel." Now, the only way that can come about will be that we succeed in throwing off the attempt to fasten communist tyranny upon us. And therefore, this is a very hopeful prophecy. This is our job, and neither cowardice nor a false squeamishness can get us out of it. In the 149th Psalm, verses 5 to 9, we read this: "Let the saints be joyful in glory." Now, who are the saints? Definitely, they are not people selected by some church to be honored for some particular act of piety these people had done. In the 148th Psalm, it tells you who all of God's saints are, not just some of them, but all of them. And it says, all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. So all the saints of God are the children of Israel. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye Yahweh. And to that I surely say, Amen. So, what we are facing now is the final conflict with the forces of evil with which these surviving Edomites have managed to tie up all activities that we have. Our whole civilization is bound up in slavery to them and their greed. Our deliverance from them is to come through the fall of their Babylonian system. So, this which the book of Revelation prophesies as something to come in the very near future gives us hope. Yes, it'll be terrible. It'll be rough. There will be rioting and fighting in the streets as the forces of evil try to take control. There will be bombing of cities from the Russian invasion. There will be immense property destruction from this invasion and from the communist revolution. There will be great numbers of people killed. It won't be any fun. But we do have here God's clear promise that we are going to be brought through it, and that this evil Babylonian system is going to be overthrown and the kingdom of God restored.